Psalms chapter 25. I went down and right before church and visited Sister Donald Masters. She had her gallbladder taken out, and Bruce stopped by and asked me to come down. Went down and visited him. So you continue to remember her in prayer as she recovers. Of course, remember all the sick we have amongst us. We have a lot of folks that are here and that are sick, but you keep on remembering them in prayer every day. Now, Psalms chapter 25, and the title we give, we try to give us one sentence title to each one of the Psalms, and this is a difficult Psalm to outline, so I really didn't outline it. I outlined it for a preaching text, but the verses jump back and forth from one subject to the other. But here's the three main subjects that this particular Psalm deals with: David's request for deliverance, for guidance, and for forgiveness. Deliverance, guidance, and forgiveness. Now, what we did last week is we dealt with his request for deliverance, and we showed how many verses in the Psalms deals with David being in distress. He was in some type of tremendous distress whenever he wrote this Psalm, and we went into the Psalm and showed you six things that David did in time of distress that we need to do in time of distress, in order to strengthen ourselves. Now, if you've not heard that message, that was from last Wednesday night, and I haven't got time to go back and recover it. Six things that David did in his distress to strengthen himself, and we looked at those six things last week. Now, tonight's message, I'm going to try to finish this psalm, is David's request for guidance. He requests that the Lord direct his way. Now look at verse 4 and verse 5 and see what it says. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Show me thy ways. Teach me thy paths. And lead me in thy truth. And teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. And on thee do I wait all the day. Let us pray. Father, again, we're thankful for this opportunity we have to worship you. And Lord, we're thankful for your people that have gathered tonight. And Master, we pray that you would bless this message tonight and you'd use it to accomplish that which you intend. We know that your word never returns void, and we pray that you'd use it and touch people's hearts. And we pray that as we leave tonight, we'd be made to draw closer to you as a result of your worship. And as a result of your word, in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Notice how it says in verse 4, show me. Verse 5, lead me and teach me. Isn't that a good request? Show me thy ways, teach me thy paths, and lead me in thy truth. Now that's an excellent prayer to pray, is it not? Now, I'm going to give you some occasions in which this can be prayed. You know, before you came to church tonight, this is an excellent prayer to pray. Sometimes if you're not careful with regard to church, is all you do is show up. And there's more to worshiping the King than just walking in and opening the door up and sitting down and say, okay, hit us with it. You come for a purpose and you come for a reason. And your purpose, of course, is to worship the King. And I want the Lord to show me his ways. I want the Lord to teach me his paths. And I want him to lead me in his truth. And that's an excellent prayer to pray before you ever come to God's house. Just to take the time to, I'm going to church, Master. I'm going to worship you. And just show me and teach me and lead me. And brother, then come in and sit down and get your Bible open. And get ready for the Lord to do just that through the ministry of his word. So it's something we can pray before we come to church. It's something you can pray when you're seeking truth. You know, I can remember when I was 17, and I had a tremendous, I wanted to know, I looked at, I was beginning to study the word more on my own. You know, if you're not careful, you'll believe things because your dad did or because your uncle did or because your grandparents did. And that's not the reason really to believe anything as far as God's word's concerned. You need to believe it because that's what God's word says. So what I would do is I looked at the doctrines that this church believed, and I looked at doctrines that other churches believed, and then I began to study to see what was so. You need to understand that the things that I preach and that I teach, I do so because I really believe that that's what God's Word teaches. And I've studied that, and I've looked over it, and I've studied it, and I do that off and on all the time. Things that I teach, I want to be sure that that's what God's Word says. So when I'm seeking truth, this is an excellent prayer to pray. Show me your way, God. Teach me your paths. Lead me in thy truth. I want to know. There are some doctrines that I believe today that the first time I heard them, I thought could not be true. Can anybody else say that? The first time I heard some of the doctrines, I said, there is no way, no how that could be true. And then I asked the pastor, I said, now where in the world is that in the Bible that you're preaching? I know he'd have a reason for saying it. And then he gave me all the verses for different doctrines, and I write those passages of Scripture down. And then I went home in my room, and I shut my door, and I said, Lord, show me. I want to know. I want to know your truth. I want to know what your paths are. I want to know your way. Show me. And I begin to study, and he will. I honestly believe when someone really wants to know, and they ask the master to show and teach them, I really believe that he will. So this is an excellent thing to pray whenever you're seeking truth. You'll be surprised at the number of people that believe things because their dad does or because that's what their preacher says, and they never, ever search things out for themselves. All I ever ask you to do whenever I preach from this pulpit is to take what I say and weigh it by the Scriptures. Check it out. Search it. And see whether it's so. Search it for yourself. And you know what happens when you see it for yourself? It gives you conviction. So it's an excellent prayer to pray whenever you're seeking truth. Before you study your Bible, I pray that everyone in the house studies their Bible on a regular basis. I'll do the same. Lord, show me. Teach me. Direct my path in your word. I want to know your truths. He showed me some great things over the years. And it's never stopped. I've never stopped learning different truths and seeing passages in different ways. He continues to show me and teach me. Before ever I preach a message, you can know one thing. I've asked, Lord, show me. You know Elizabeth Baptist Church. You know everyone that's going to be there this Wednesday night or this Sunday morning or this Sunday night. And you know what Elizabeth Baptist Church needs. You know the people's hearts. Lord, show me your truth and your ways. Show me the messages that is needed, that the church needs to hear. So that when I come into the pulpit, I really believe that I'm giving a message that the church needs to hear. I honestly don't come up here just to see if I can take up 35 or 40 or 45 minutes just to take up time to earn a paycheck. I come in here, I believe, really, from prayer and from study, to deliver a message to you from the King. And I pray that you look at it that way. You know, if I'm praying for the Lord to show me His ways and to teach me His paths and to lead me in truth, and Coy's praying the same thing, don't you think the Lord's going to show us some things and teach us some things? So you need to do so before you come to church, and you need to do so before you ever make a major decision. You know, many times people make decisions and they never ask counsel of our magnificent, our marvelous counselor. Never ask the Lord. Many times people get married. Have you talked to the Lord about that? No. That's the main person you need to ask counsel at. He has all wisdom. He knows that person 10 years from now. He can give you a lot of wisdom. You ask counsel before you make any major decision. This is an excellent prayer for you to pray. Show me your way, Lord. Lead me in your truth. Teach me your paths. Before you make any major decision, this is an excellent prayer to pray. So that's my first point tonight, is you take verse 4 and verse 5, and you make it a prayer before any major decision, before you study, whenever you seek truth, you make 4 and 5 your prayer. All right? Now, what's the main way? Now, I'm going to tell you the main way that the Lord reveals His ways, His paths, and His truth. You want to know the main way the Lord does that? Through this book. This is the main way that He does it. If you want to know His ways, you want to know His paths, and you want to know His truths, this is the main ways that He reveals it. You know what that means then? If I want to learn His ways and I want Him to teach me His paths, that means I need to be in this book. You need to study it for yourself. And as you will study the Word for yourself, many times the Lord will reveal you His paths, His truths, His ways. That's the way He reveals it. As you study it, you need to go, since He reveals His ways and His truth and His paths, mainly through His Word, you need to be in a place where you're taught it. I mean, how are you going to learn His truths and His ways and His paths if the primary way that He shows you those things is through His Word? Then you need to be in a place where you're taught it. If you're not in a place where God's Word is taught and exposited, you won't learn His ways, His paths, and His truths. So you need to be in a place where you can be taught it. You need to be under teachers that can teach you His ways, His truths, and His paths. Book of 1 Timothy says, commit thou, talking about His Word, His truths, commit thou to faithful men who may be able to teach others. You need to be sitting under people that can teach and to instruct you in the Word of God. So this is the main way that the Master reveals His paths, His truths, and His ways, right here. As you get more and more of this book, He'll reveal unto you more and more of His ways, more and more of His truths, and more of the path that you need to follow. All God's people say it. Oh my, this is the greatest thing next to my salvation that I own, is a copy of this book, and He means for you to use it. That's how you learn these things. Now let's talk a little bit about making decisions. You know, we entitled this, he's requesting that God would give him guidance, that God would direct his path. We done already said one of the primary ways He does that is through His Word. But folks, there's decisions that we have to make in this life that the Word of God don't specifically say what to do. Do y'all know what I mean? For instance, you can't turn to Scripture and verse and say, thou shalt take this job, or thou shalt not take this job, or thou shalt marry this man. You can't turn to a specific passage to get the insight. Now, of course, the Bible gives you principles on who to marry. Don't get me wrong with regard to that, specific principles. Or thou shalt move to this particular house, or thou shalt buy this particular car. It don't tell you what to do, but how do you make these decisions that the Bible don't specifically tell you to make? How do you determine what the will of the Lord is with regard to situations like I just described? I'm going to give you some principles to go by to determine God's will. Are you ready? You write these things down. You'll need this eventually. You might not need it tonight, but you'll eventually need what I'm giving you right now. How to determine what God's will is. It's not by flipping a coin. It's not by waiting on something to hit you. How do you determine what God's will is? I'm going to give you some principles to remember. First of all, of course, is you commit your way to the Lord. Turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 3. The prayer that I just give you, show me your paths, teach me your ways, and all these things. The prayer that I just give you is you're asking God, you're committing your way to God. So to determine God's will, the first thing you must do is commit your way to Him. Verse 5 and 6 says of Proverbs chapter 3, to trust in the Lord with with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. Now notice verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him. What will he do? And he'll direct your path. So the first thing you do when you want to determine God's will in a situation or in a decision is you commit that whole thing to him. Lord, I'm faced with a decision here. I just don't know what to do. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to follow the path that you want me to follow. Lord, direct old Jeff's path in this particular situation. So the first thing you do is you commit. That's what it means, commit your way to him. That's what you're doing. It said you commit your way to him. What does it say he'll do? Then he'll direct your path. You got to commit it to him. That's the first thing you do. Now, when you commit it to him, this is part of that. You got to be willing then to do what? Yeah, you got to be willing to follow. You got to be willing to wait. When you commit something to the Lord, what we do is we go, Lord, I'm committing this to you, and I need to know what to do about an hour from now. You can't put God on your timetable. Seriously, you can't put God on your time. Need to know in 30 minutes. Hurry up, I need to know. It's not how it works. You commit your way to him, and then you wait on him to direct your path in making a decision. And you don't move till you hear from him. That's the first thing. Number two, and we've done mention this, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. You spend a lot of time in the Word. Not only do you pray and commit your way to the Lord when you're seeking to make a decision, but you continue to spend a lot of time in study of the Word. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart and your mind as you're studying the Word of God. He's revealed to me a lot of things, a lot of paths that I need to follow just by me studying His Word. I want to know what to preach this coming Sunday morning, or I want to know what to preach. I want to know what to preach on the radio broadcast. I always seek the Lord's will, so I commit that to Him. And then, you know where most of my sermons come from? They come from my personal study. The things that I read, I'll be reading. I've prayed, I've committed to the Lord, but as I've studied the Word of God, and as I'm spending my quiet time with the King, then He'll speak to my heart. Not in audible words, but He'll impress things. I look at that text and I thought, boy, that would be an awesome message to preach from this text. Then I'll start outlining it. People already think I'm crazy up at work. I'll have a piece of paper and I'll be loading a truck and I'll run over there. And I'll write something down. I'll go back and get another one. Something else will come over. And I'll write that down. I'll have you the most awesome message by the time that I'm done. It comes from studying the Word. He'll many times speak to you and reveal His will through the study of His Word. That's the first two ways to determine God's will. By committing your way to Him. And by studying the Word. It's amazing how He'll speak to these people as you study His Word. Number three, seek the advice of a good and a faithful, mature Christian brother or sister. Seek the advice of a good and faithful, mature Christian brother and sister. Book of Proverbs. Let me show you a text with regard to this. You write these down. You'll need to give these to somebody one of these days. You know, there's people here that are older and been saved a long time. And they've experienced a lot of things over the years. They've seen a lot and they have experienced a lot. And they've been in a lot of situations that perhaps you may be in right now. And they've made mistakes over the years also. You know, I've learned a lot from my mistakes, haven't you? And when you can go to a good, faithful, mature, experienced Christian, they can give you some good counsel and give you some good insight. just go to them. And I'm sure any one of them here, you know who they are. You know who they are. You know you can go seek them out. They'd be glad to talk to you and give you their advice. Notice in the book of Proverbs, chapter 11, verse 14. Where no counsel is, the people fail. But in the multitude of counselors, there is what? There's safety. There's nothing wrong with getting counsel from God's people. Of course, after Solomon, he had a son by the name of Rehoboam. It says that he took counsel from his younger men. His younger men told him to make the taxes worse than it was under his dad. His older men, his older, more mature, experienced counselor says, "Now listen, Rehoboam, if you cut these taxes..." That even makes good sense, does it not? "If you cut these taxes, these people will love you, and they will serve you, and you'll establish your kingdom." He listened to bad counsel. He listened to the least experienced, most immature counselors that he had, and they gave him bad counsel, and the nation of Israel split as a result of that. Seek out someone that can give you some good, faithful counsel from the Word. Someone who knows the book. Someone that's got good experiences in the Lord. Say, "Hey, buddy, I want to talk to you." You'll find, and I found this to be true, even on a job or even in school, even unbelievers, when they want to know something, when they're seeking wisdom in a matter, you know who they'll seek out on the job? They'll seek out the person that knows the Lord. Because they recognize the wisdom that the Spirit of God gives the people of God. That's who they want to talk to. And they'll ask counsel of God's people. So that's the third thing you do when you're seeking God's will. They can give you some good insight. And if you're getting ready to make a mistake, they can say, "Hey, wait a minute. I done that. Don't do it, brother. Hold, don't do it." Seek the counsel of some good, faithful, mature Christian brothers and sisters. Number four, ask yourself some questions. This is number four now. Ask yourself some questions with regard to the decision you're getting ready to make. Here's the questions that you need to ask yourself. Are you ready? How will this affect me spiritually? How will this affect me spiritually? Example. If I take this new job here, how will this affect me spiritually? That's an important thing to ask yourself. That job might pay more money. That job might have a higher position and a greater title. Because most generally when people choose a job, that's all they base it on. They never ask themselves, if I take this job, what's this going to do to my family? This is part of that. How will this affect me spiritually and how will this affect my family? Those are two things you need to ask yourself right off the bat. I was asked to take a job one time, and they called me out in the front office. It paid $5,000 on the year. They wanted me to take that job. And I didn't want that job because it involved too much of my time. I already had enough time invested there anyway without taking more time and having a lot more people to watch over. So I didn't want it. And I said, "Well, I said, I'll pray about this, and then I'll come back and I'll tell you my answer." They said, "You'll do what? It's $5,000 more on the year." Well, I still need to ask the Lord. I don't know that this would be the best thing for me. He knows this job here a month or two from now. What should it do? So I said, "So I'm going to ask the Lord." So I asked counsel of him, and then I started. How will this affect me spiritually? I won't be able to spend as much time in His Word. It'll take me most of my mind away because my mind will be so obsessed with what all goes on at this job that I won't be able to concentrate on spiritual things. So when I looked at how it affected me spiritually, I said, "No, I don't want it." Besides that, it'll take me away from my family too. I won't get to spend no time with them. Now, this job pays less. That $5,000 more on the year ain't worth me being out of God's house half the time. That $5,000 more in a year ain't worth me not being able to be with my children at night whenever I can tell them Bible story. How can you put a price tag on being able to be in God's house? On being able to take and serve the Lord? And on being able to spend time with your family? I think that would be taking a loss. You might make more money, but what you're giving up is far greater. Told you this in the past, and the reason why this is important, and I'm going to mention this later, is you can't always go by circumstances, can you? Sometimes circumstances can look like that this is the thing to do, but you can't always go by circumstances. Back in 1990, when I took a job in Ohio, everything about that job opened up. First time I went to this plant on hiring someone else. And I went to that job interview one time, and they said, "You're the man for the job." And I said, "Well, now, if it pays close to what I made at Hex, it's God's will." Paid $5,000 more. Here we go, $5,000 again. $5,000 more a year than I made at Hex. That's another open door. Number three, I didn't have a job. I didn't have a job, nor did I have any unemployment. Has to be God's will. Wide open. Everything fell in perfect. Hey, I'm not done yet. It was the same kind of job I had at Hex. Took me 12 years to work into. I started out at this job at the same position. A little bit higher position. A couple of supervisors working for you and an office upstairs. I thought, boy, this is awesome. Everything fell right into place. Has to be God's will. But you know the question I never asked when I took it? How will it affect me spiritually? How will it affect me? How will it affect me and Elizabeth Baptist Church? That's my question. How will it affect me and time with my family? Well, it devastated I was a Sunday morning pastor. The only church service I could do was Sunday morning. Sunday night, I had to go to work. Wednesday night, I had to go to work. I couldn't be here. Well, it didn't take a week. And I said, I've made the wrong decision. Always ask yourself, how will this affect you spiritually? Number two, this is the second question. I'm going to give all these to you again so you can get them down. Do I have peace about doing it? Do I have peace? Philippians 2:13 said, "It is the Lord that works in you, both to do and to will of His good pleasure." Did you hear that? That's Philippians 2:13. It is the Lord that works in you, both to do and to will of His good pleasure. Do you have peace about your decision? Do you have a peace about doing it? If you don't have no peace about doing it, something's not right. Holy Spirit, if you're asking counsel of your marvelous counselor, and you've committed your way to the Lord, when that decision is right, He'll give you a desire to do it and a peace about it. Really believe that. If you don't have a peace about it, there's something wrong. Let me give you an example. I've given this to you in the past. Some of you are new, never heard it. I think it was 1997, I was offered to, I was asked to pastor the church, a Buffalo Baptist church. And that was a hard decision because I enjoyed very much preaching there. And I'd been Elizabeth then even a good while. I thought perhaps this might be a good move for our church and for them. They didn't have anybody. And so I enjoyed it, and I really liked the people well, enjoyed preaching there, and I prayed. And one day I was sure that that's what the Lord wanted me to do, and the next day I was like, well, maybe not. And I was flip-flopping back and forth, and I didn't know what. When you're flip-flopping, you know not to do nothing till you're settled. See what I'm saying? So I continued to pray, and it took me 2 months. Did y'all realize it took me 2 months to make that decision? I'd get a phone call. Where are you? No, I just don't know. And I'm not going to move till I know. I want to know. I know, and I was waiting. I got tired of waiting, but I knowed I had to wait. Till finally one day I was driving and praying. I was driving down there to preach, and my heart was so strong towards Elizabeth. I just was worried about Elizabeth, thinking about who was here, who was not there, and the Lord revealed my heart. My heart was here, and I didn't go. That's why I didn't. It wasn't because of the people or you people or them people. It was because I wanted to be where I thought the Lord wanted me to be. And when I made the decision to stay here, guess what I had? Peace. And I knew it was right. I stopped flip-flopping. I knew where I was supposed to be. So, do I have peace about it? Do I have peace about it? Number three, would it glorify God? Would it glory? Whatsoever you do, Colossians 3:17. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all for the glory of God. That's what it's all about, is it not? If I do this, would this glorify God? Would this glorify God? And number four, is there a Bible principle that guides me? You have to ask yourself those four things. Is there a Bible principle that guides me? If you're getting ready to take revenge on someone, is that the Lord's will? Is there a Bible principle that guides you there? Vengeance is mine, I will repay. You got something to guide you there. Is it God's will for you to marry an unbeliever? There's a Bible principle for that too. Be not ye unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So you got Bible principles. Is there a clear Bible principle to direct you? You got to ask yourself that question too. Be sure to ask those questions. Let me give them to you again. How will this affect me spiritually? Do I have peace about doing it? Would this glorify God? Is there a Bible principle that will guide me? You ask yourself those questions. Still ready? Now, let's see, what number are we on? This is number four, is it not? Number four, I'm going to give them all to you again so you can get them down. I studied hard for this. You need to write this down. Ain't real fancy, but this will save you from making some big mistakes. Number four, follow God's providence. God will open a door, and He can also shut doors. I'll give you an illustration here in just a little bit. Follow God's providence. Sometimes He'll open a door wide open, and you can see it. And sometimes He'll shut a door. The extension we done here, the door for that opened wide open. I mean, we were praying, we were seeking the Lord's will, we didn't know what to do, we turned it over to the King, and we did what? We've done these. What I'm giving you tonight, we've already done these. And we waited. They approached us to buy the property next door and the house next door. They approached us. That was an open door. We needed it. That indicated us what we needed to do. We had the contractor in the church. That was an open door. We followed God's providence. Okay? Now let me give you some nevers. Let me give you some nevers. Never make a decision when you're angry or upset. You'll do something stupid. I don't know any other way of naming it than calling it just like, you'll do something stupid. If you make a decision when you're angry or upset, wait till you calm down. You're not really rational when you're angry or upset. You'll do something. Have you ever, don't raise your hand. Have you ever done anything stupid when you was angry or upset? We all have. Don't make a decision then when you feel that way. There's things that you'll feel like doing when you're angry that if you'll wait about an hour, you'll be glad you didn't. So don't make a decision when you're that way. You know that. You know when you're angry and you feel like making a decision, then you're like, I need to wait a while. I've learned that. Number two, don't make a decision when you're severely depressed. Don't make a decision when you're severely depressed. Elijah made a decision when he was severely depressed. He decided to run away 100 miles away from where he should be. Got up underneath the juniper tree and requested that he might die. I bet after a month went by, he went, boy, I'm glad the Lord didn't answer that one. That was a poor decision. You'll make poor decisions when you're severely depressed. Okay? Number three, never make a decision when you're grieving. Never make a decision when you're grieving. Allow yourself time to grieve. You grieve over different things. You grieve over any kind of loss. It can be a death. It can be other things. Never make a decision when you're grieving. Wait till you're more comfortable, more sound of mind to make a decision. Okay, now let me give these to you again. Make sure you got them down. Number one, commit your way to the Lord. And wait. Don't move till you know. Number two, stay in the Word. Stay faithfully in the Word. The Lord will talk to you through the Word. Number three, seek the advice of a mature, faithful Christian brother or sister. Crying out loud, you wouldn't go to someone backslidden or out of fellowship, would you? Say, it has to be someone faithful, someone trustworthy, someone that's been there. Ask questions. Number four. And of course, I give you the four questions. I'm not going to read those again. Follow God's providence. He opens doors, but He also shuts them. I've asked the Lord about doing things before. And you know what the Lord did? He slammed the door shut. That means no. And then remember the nevers. Never make a decision when you're angry, upset, severely depressed, or grieving. Okay? Oh, I'm not done. Don't get excited. That was just my first point so far, as far tonight. So that's what you do when you're seeking God's will in a matter, is those things, and that will help Him guide your way and teach you His paths. Now, let's talk of this a little bit. Let's turn back to Psalms 25. Psalms chapter 25, let's talk just a little bit. Psalms 25 reveals the character. Psalms 25 reveals, I was excited about this. Psalms 25 reveals the character and the attitude of people that He reveals His will to. It really does. So if He's going to reveal, if He's going to teach you His paths, show you His ways, and lead you in the truth, this passage here gives you the character and the attitudes of the people that He does that for. I found there's a lot of people out there, there's people that's unbelievers that want to know what God's will is, whether they should buy a car or not. You ever seen it happen? Preacher, if you don't mind, I'm wanting to buy a house. Would you ask the Lord whether I should do that or not? And they never trusted any son. See what I'm saying? So it gives you the character of people and the attitude of people that God reveals His past to. Notice who He does it to. Psalms chapter 25. Notice what it says in verse 9. The meek will He guide in judgment, and the meek will He do what? Teach His way. Isn't that what we just looked at? Lord, show me Your way. Who will the Lord teach His way? He'll teach His way to the meek. That's one of the characteristics of people that he shows things to. You have to be meek. Now, the idea of the word meek in this text is to be humble and to be lowly minded. God don't reveal anything to someone's arrogant and high minded. When you're wanting the Lord to direct your path, meekness is a key part of your character trait. Man, when I go to the Lord and I'm wanting guidance, Master, I don't know what to do. I'm ignorant in this thing. And I humble myself before my King. Lord, I want to do what You want me to do, the way that You want me to do it. See, that's humility. That's meekness. See, He teaches His way to those that are meek. People that are arrogant and high-minded want to do what they want to do and then turn around and it's like the man that wanted to, a church offered him of course, a great big job, and it paid offered him the pastorate, and it paid three times the money that he made at the church he was at. And he said, "Honey, you go pack, and I'll go pray." He then made his decision. See, that's a decision of arrogance. You have to be meek. When meek is lowly, and you're humbling yourself before your king, wanting to do what he wants you to do, and he'll reveal it to the meek. That's what it says. Notice what it says in verse 10 now. It says, "All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies." His covenant and his testimonies is his word. Those that keep it. Paths of the Lord are revealed to those that are obedient. Someone's walking and living in sin, he's not going to reveal his paths and his ways to those folks. To those that are obedient, faithful, and meek. Do you see what I'm saying? I know folks, they've made professions of faith. They've made professions of faith. Show no desire whatsoever to serve the Lord. Live in sin. Open sin. Not ashamed of it. But then, when they need something, you can count on them to be sitting there that particular Sunday, and they want the Lord to show me thy ways and teach me thy paths. It says here, he does that for those that keep his covenant and his testimonies. Not to those that are walking out of his will already. You see what I'm saying? He reveals in this psalm the character and the attitudes of the people that he shows his path and he teaches his ways. It's those that are obedient. Jeff, I'm not hearing from the Lord. It's because you're living in sin. It's because you're putting the world ahead of the king. You need to repent. Rededicate your life to the king, and then he'll show you his ways, teach you his paths, and lead you in truth. I told a boy, and he still reminds me of it. I said, "Son," somebody I knew real well that I could say this to. I said, "Son, the Lord ain't a genie that you rub just when you want something." He needed to be, and that's the only time you want anything to do with him, when you need something. Any other time, you just live like the world does. But boy, when you need something, you want him to show you, to rub your lamp. God's not mocked by that. He won't show his ways to folks like that. That's what it says. They keep his covenant and his testimonies. See why this is in the psalm too? With the request of having more knowledge of God's will goes these character traits of people that he reveals those things to. Notice another one. Verse 12. Who is the man? What is the man that does what? Fears the Lord. Him shall he teach. Who shall he teach his way? The man that fears God. Everybody see that? What's the character traits and the attitudes of the person that he reveals his way to? He reveals it to the meek, to the obedient, and to those who fear him. The word fear means to have a reverence and a respect for God. Crying out loud, you understand the world not having a reverence for God. But it's hard to understand when someone professes faith that shows no respect for the king. The word fear means reverence or respect. I fear his dread. I fear his dread. I fear disappointing him. You think I'm great? I do. And I fear him. I want to do that which honors and pleases him. That's a godly fear. And that'll be in the heart of someone that's born again. I'm going to give you some of the... Turn with me to Proverbs 8. We're about done. I still got an illustrious 5 minutes. And we'll be able to finish this psalm. If y'all enjoyed this psalm, this has been an excellent psalm. A little bit different style on how we've covered it. I mean, we give you some good things last week as far as how to get out, be strong in distress. But now you get some pretty important things, how to get guidance. You need to remember these things. Proverbs chapter 8. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you fear God? Do you reverence Him? Do you respect Him? It says in verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. You know, if a man has a godly fear, they hate evil. It doesn't say, ye that fear the Lord love sin. I'm not saying that we're sinless, but we hate it. I hate it. I hate it when I see it in my own life. I hate it when people fall. I hate it when I see it in my land. I hate it. Do you hate it? That's a characteristic of godly fear. Fear of the Lord is to hate evil and to hate what? Pride and arrogancy. Hate that too. Hate it if I see it in me, especially. Pride and arrogancy. The evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. That's what the fear of God is. You work with somebody and they say, well, you know, I have a tremendous godly fear. At the same time, they're living in sin, and they're going out and drinking with the boys, and they're using all the foul language, and doing all the drugs, and doing all that, but they have a godly fear, they're lying to you. They don't have a godly fear. This is what godly fear is. And those that fear the Lord is who He reveals His truths to, His paths, His ways. Those that are obedient to Him is who He reveals these things. You know, when I was walking in sin, I never seen nothing spiritual. When I rededicated my life to the King, and started serving Him, and started being obedient to Him, He showed me His paths. He showed me His ways. He showed me His truths. See? Verse 14. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. The secret. You got secret. Hey, do y'all tell secrets? Now I'm talking. If you got a secret, something that you know, and you want to share it, you know who you share that with? Your very close, personal friends. God reveals His secrets to those coy. And if here, coy, I want to reveal you something, Lord. Reveal His secret to you. Speaks of fellowship and communion and closeness with the Master. To the meek, to the obedient, to the fearful, He shows His ways. He teaches them His paths, and He leads them into truth. All God's people say it. That's how you receive guidance. David's requesting guidance, and that's who he reveals it to. Let's all stand. I'll stop with that.